Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Let's talk about what is potentially behind what is happening today. Sarah Gon is a political analyst. She has a show here on Chai FM. Government's response to the immigration crisis. We wanted to know what this is really about. We know that the South African government has mounted a significant security response ahead of the March-to-March demonstrations with additional deployment and the fact that just to make sure that we don't have a repeat of 2021. But more than that, what is really going on here to help us assess not only their response, but what is behind it? We are joined by Sarah Gon. Sarah, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
Sure. Yes, thank you, Howard.
So let's just start with we know what's happening on the ground. Hopefully the response is adequate. At this stage, it is quiet. But what is concerning me is there seems to be some murkiness as to who is behind this, what this is about. Does it arise out of genuine frustration, or does it just use Is it using people's frustration to further another political goal? Give us your thoughts around this.
I'm not sure that it's there to further another political goal, but I do think it's there to use the perceptions of foreigners in this country as a basis for raising their complaints and their unhappiness. And obviously, it would largely revolve around standard of living, which has dropped, the availability of jobs, etc. So they generally tend to see the foreigners as sort of impinging upon what people consider to be their right. And there's a lot of mythology around that. There's, for example, the people involved, who've spoken publicly in favour of having illegal foreigners removed, things like, they make up 15 to 30 million people in the country, they're taking our jobs from us. Everything they see, economic activity or work activity they see, they cast upon the foreigners who embark or engage on those activities as, quote, taking their jobs from them, and so it becomes it's just a transference of a general malaise. It's also, I think, the fact that it's become mobilized as a sort of political issue then becomes something that has to be dealt with or taken into account in the run-up to elections, because it's become much more organized and much more emphatic. And the very fact that they gave a warning of a date in which they would all have demonstrations being today, and we sort of had to gear up for it and perhaps over-gear up for it, because I know there are three approved marches and the routes have been distinctly delineated. I think it's the problem is one actually has to look at, because it's the estimated amount of foreigners in this country, legal and illegal, is actually closer to 3 million. Wow. So the actual numbers don't stack up. That's the reality of it. And the point is that there is something, I think, a little bit that we have to actually confront, which the government hasn't confronted, that the government has to some extent, is sort of indicating that it's actually mostly their fault in the way they administer the people coming into the country and the allowance for corruption, etc. But one of the things we actually have to look at is why are foreigners being employed? And I've heard a number of people saying in preference over South Africans. And I think they essentially regard them largely as harder working, more prepared to just get on with it because they are here. They see here as an opportunity, and you don't turn your nose up at the opportunity to make a proper living here. And South Africans tend to be seen, particularly by other African countries, as somewhat spoiled, sort of having a sense of entitlement. And that's, I think, the whole range of problems that actually need to be confronted and talked about. And the government, I think, needs to be more forthright in challenging the people who organize the marches about the factual basis for their complaints.
What about the fact that people who want to be illegal have almost an impossible job of trying to do so?
Sorry, Howard, I'm not quite sure what you mean by wanting to be
The
immune.
we've spoken to many people who are saying that the that they've applied, that they are, and we're not only talking about, you're talking about people across the board, from laborers to blue collar to university professors, people from overseas who would love nothing better to than to work in South Africa, earn a living, happy to pay taxes, but are almost forced into a position. Well, I guess no one's forced to be a criminal, but are forced into a position in some ways by the fact that the system seems to be broken. And then add to that, for many people, the police themselves are problematic in that we are hearing anecdotal stories of police arresting people for being foreigners, not having papers, but actually, really, all they want to do, and maybe it's not even police, maybe it's people, purporting to be, but you pay a bribe and then you're back to where you were. So there's almost this notion of this sub-economy around it.
Well, I mean, there is a. I mean, South Africa is attractive because ostensibly, by comparison of the countries people come from, it's successful. There's money to be made. It's seen as a land of opportunity, and from the you face potential obstacles or an illegal way in. From the border onwards, and that involves, bribing officials, et cetera, et cetera. You then also have the situation where foreigners do apply for a registered status, which makes sense because it makes their lives easier. They don't have to be essentially operating with a constant threat that they can be accused of being here legally, and they are essentially because they're not granted citizenship or similar status. And one of the big problems apparently is that they very often maintain the so-called illegal status while they are waiting for the Department of Home Affairs to regularize their status. And that's a very big problem. So that in a way they can't do anything about their illegal status if they've even if they've tried to regularize it. And one of the things is that you have a situation where the government has made it clear, but I don't think it's been explored vociferously enough, the fact that it is not for ordinary citizens to demand proof of residency or otherwise of other people. It's entirely a state function, and it's according to the state rules. And while it's theoretically a criminal act, it's not a criminal act in the normal sense of criminal acts that that one would be able to
Conduct a
exercise as a
citizen's
citizen's
arrest.
arrest. But it's just not, it's not that sort of issue. And it is entirely, basically what it is that the government must sort of tackle those who perpetuate a lot of these myths. But of course, the bottom line is that at the end of the day, it is about economic progress. And government, I think, has even recognized that. But the one thing it doesn't seem to do is ever implement an economic policy or set of policies that we would recognize as creating growth and therefore businesses and therefore jobs. And that in the essence is what this boils down to, is a sense of, that they're just not coming to the party with the economic fixes that we've talked about for years and need. And it's almost like, there's a sort of it's a sort of fixed pie. There are only so many jobs and there are only so many situations that people could fit into. Whereas theoretically, with proper economic growth, you should be able to simply, allow people to expand the creation
Because
of business
this,
and jobs.
to some extent, what worries me greatly is, and as Jews we know this, is the dangers of scapegoating.
Of course.
If it's the foreigners who are responsible for all of South Africa's woes, well, that becomes a bit of a dangerous situation, because it doesn't place responsibility where it should, and it puts people's lives in danger.
That's true. And I mean, there've been situations of South Africans, local South Africans being attacked or treated as illegal foreigners because they come from more remote parts of the country. They make it from Venda, or so they don't they form part of a smaller indigenous grouping rather than, say, the Zulus or Xhosas, etc. They're maybe vendors, etc. And that in itself means that what the perpetrators are doing is taking out their frustrations, their anger on anyone they don't perceive as being part of them. And that is something I think the government should really wrap its head around and make it absolutely clear that, you know, the taking up the issue in this way, in these ways, with marches and accusations and assaults, etc., is it's just it runs the risk of capturing people in a net that isn't justified. Not that it's justified that, you know, you deal with foreigners in this way either, but no distinction is made. Everything is based on perception and grievance. And this South Africans are not much liked in the rest of Africa. They tend to see them as entitled and kind of waiting for jobs and improvements in their lives to be given to them. And I think that's an important part of the debate to be actually had. Why do people sort of perhaps prefer employing foreigners? What are they
Yeah,
offering that South
so
Africans are
interesting
not?
that. Very, very interesting. We do need to leave it there. Unfortunately, Sarah Ghana, thank you as always, chatting to us about what lies behind this potentially and some of those complexities.